This is Lifestyle Indie with Julie Patterson on Freedom 95.
Welcome to the show. We're glad you're listening today. Our first guest is Bob Higgins. Bob Higgins is with Brookshire Golf Club, the one in Carmel, right? Because I looked online and there's one in Ohio, too. Who knew?
No, that's correct. Yeah, there's actually one in Michigan as well that we get calls for.
Every wow! Isn't that interesting? Well, I'm sure yours is the best, right?
Yes, it is.
So are you like the mayor of Brookshire? What is your title?
No, I am the general manager and superintendent of Brookshire, a department director, basically.
Oh, my goodness. City. That sounds like a big job.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. Every day's different, which makes for a good day every day.
I agree with that. So how long have you been with Brookshire?
I started with the city in 2007, so this is my 13th year, 12th calendar.
Oh, cool. So it's a city golf course.
That's correct. Yeah, we're owned by the city of Carmel.
Wow, interesting. All right, so tell me about Brookshire. How long has it been there? Tell me about some of it.
Yeah, Brookshire was originally designed as Carmel Country Club in 1969.
Oh, wow.
And it was built in conjunction with a neighborhood. They found that at the time it would probably be better to be used as a public golf course. So it became Brookshire Golf Club and was privately owned until 2006, actually the end of, and that's when the city purchased it.
Okay, and where does it rest? If for those not familiar with Carmel, where exactly is it?
Yeah, we are on the corner of Gray Road and 116th Street, and access is between 116th and 126th off of Gray Road.
Would you say we're like right in the prime of golf season? I mean,
I
summertime.
Would say we are in the prime of golf season. Yes,
I bet that place is busy.
We are really busy today. Yes, especially with the holiday being around this time of year. Kids out of school, people taking time off for vacations. Yeah, we get really busy this time of year.
So are you one of these 18-hole kind of places with the gently rolling terrain, et cetera?
Yeah, I would consider us a parkland-style golf course, which means it's kind of like a park-style setting out there.
Oh.
We do have 18 holes. We have two practice greens and a couple of practice chipping greens. We also have some practice bunkers and a full driving range.
I've never heard of practice bunkers, but I'm not a golfer, so that wouldn't be surprising, probably. Yeah, because that's something you would definitely need some practice with.
Yes, it is.
So it's my understanding that, does it Cool Creek kind of wind its way through part of the layout there?
Yeah, we have Cool Creek running through the golf course, and it actually affects probably 13 holes.
Oh, cool.
Out here.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah, it's a very pretty setting.
Mm-hmm.
All natural. You'll see deer, fox, mink running along the creek edge.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Any of them ever try to get the golf balls?
We have not seen that yet.
Okay, well, that's probably good. You'd have to train them probably for that first.
That's
so
correct.
Let's talk about maybe some of the amenities and things that are offered. For example, I'm the kind of person, I haven't golfed since I had my children. I'm not telling you how long that is, but I assume you do private lessons?
We do, yeah. We have two PGA professionals on staff. Both will give private lessons. We do a multitude of clinics, whether it's a ladies' clinic. We do children's clinics in the summer. We also work closely with Carmel Dads Club, having their kids out here. We work through the Carmel Parks Department and the Monon Center, and they offer some golf classes that we actually operate here at the golf course.
Well, that's excellent.
We do have men's leagues, ladies' leagues. We have a senior league on Monday mornings, so we kind of hit the whole spectrum of whatever you're looking for.
It sure sounds like it. So tell me what a typical clinic looks like. Is that a one-day thing? Is it a weekend? What does a typical clinic look like?
We have different options on that even. Right now, our assistant pro is giving a ladies clinic series where they have 5 Monday nights that they come in.
Hmm.
There are mornings where one of them will throw on just like a 1 hour, come if you want to help hitting out of the bunkers.
Yeah. We go back to the bunkers. Always to the bunkers.
Yes. The junior programs are usually, like through the Parks Department, we do it for a week straight, one night. Through the Dads Club, we do it Tuesdays and Thursdays for 6 weeks.
So what qualifies as a junior? What's the age range there? Just curious.
For the most part, we're looking at probably 5 years old and up.
Oh, wow.
And we don't really cap it, but the oldest we usually get are 13, 14 right before they get into high school.
Okay, so 5 and up.
We actually have a PGA Junior Tour team, which is, I believe the age limit on that is 13, and they go around and play different courses who also have the same program.
That is very cool. So like a, yeah. I mean, they have traveling teams for every kind of sport anymore. Why
they
not
do.
Golf?
They do, yes.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
And most of the kids, obviously, from here are either from Carmel or Westfield area or Noblesville, kind of Hamilton County area.
Yeah.
And if you've watched anything of the state high school golf championships in the last 5 to 10 years, they're pretty dominant in that and coming in very well in those. So
really?
We've had some kids with state championships that have gone through our program.
That is extremely cool. What do you attribute that to? They just play a lot or?
They start early and they play a lot. They get good fundamentals early. You know, that's always a key, especially in golf. It's very hard to fix bad habits.
Of any kind.
So if you don't get them.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you don't, so what you're telling me, that grip on the club, the way you swing, feet placement, all those fundamentals really need to be in place at a young age to be top notch.
Yes.
Not always. I mean, you know.
Not always.
You probably have a surprise here and there.
You can adjust to that, but it makes it a lot easier if you can.
Yeah, yeah. Very cool. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we've got golf covered. Let's talk about outings and events.
Yes.
Yeah.
We have recently completed a brand new clubhouse here.
Ooh.
It's a wonderful facility. It's got a brand new pro shop, brand new snack bar area, and eat-in kitchen. We've got a wonderful banquet room that'll seat up to 205 people.
Wow.
With a nice balcony that overlooks it and the golf course. Outside of that banquet room, we have a sprawling deck that overlooks the golf course with beautiful views. The building also has like a small meeting room that'll fit 10 to 12 people if you want to have a smaller business meeting, that kind of thing. So this clubhouse is top-notch. We're really excited for it. So are all of our customers.
So the customers don't – it's not a membership thing. It's a – since it's public, right?
Yeah, we are a public golf course. That
cool.
is correct.
So yeah. – If you're having, say you're having a wedding the size of about 200 people, sounds like the place to go.
Yeah, yeah.
Good choice.
With that banquet room, you could hold the reception there. We recently had an outdoor wedding on the patio where they overlooked the golf course. They came in, had the reception inside. In the one meeting room, we had the grooms dressing, and up in the balcony, we had all the ladies dressing.
Oh.
So it was full service.
That sounds really, really nice.
Yeah.
So you mentioned snacks. So let's talk about the food that's provided or if you do catering and that kind of thing for an event.
Yeah, right now we do the catering and we do all snack for snack bar, things like that. We are currently allowing people to bring their own in if they have something that they want to, or somebody in particular that they want to do. Yeah, yeah. So there's some options there.
I like those options. Okay, so a public golf course located up about Gray Road, 116th Street. Access, you said, between 116th and 126th?
That's correct, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
it sounds...
Easy access right off of Keystone Parkway.
Uh-huh.
Real easy to get to.
Sounds like a beautiful place to go. So
Do
you do, like, the scrambles and the different things like that? Like, say there's a group and they want to do that one of those bonding kind of golf
outings. Yeah, we have a multitude of options on that as well. We will do anywhere from... 12 to 150 person outings.
Wow.
Where we can do full service. We also have leagues that play in the evening. If you have a business that wants to play, you know, you have 15, 20 people that want to play on Wednesday night. We have a couple of those a week. Actually, we have about 7 of those during the week.
So, wow.
Yeah, anything you're looking for, we are willing to accommodate.
Who would somebody contact for any
of
these things?
In that case, you'd want to contact my golf professional, Brian Ballard.
Brian Ballard.
At the pro shop, yeah.
Okay.
It's all of that kind of stuff up.
Brian Ballard. So bballard@carmel.in.gov. I see his
That's
email
correct.
In here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, your pro shop number here is 317-846-7431.
Okay, 846-7431. We'll plaster this on social media so people can have easy access. A lot of times people are listening to this in their car and they just can't pull over.
That's right.
Write it down, which is safety first, right?
Yeah.
How do you keep those golfers safe out there?
We have a multitude of ways to do that as well. We try to direct them in proper directions when they're coming in the right, you know, coming off of a tee, coming off of a green, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Obviously, accidents may happen. We have not had one.
Probably rare.
Knock on wood.
Yeah.
The way the course is laid out kind of prevents that a little bit.
Sure, sure. The squirrels have to watch out, but.
Yes.
But everybody else is safe. So, okay. Sounds like a great place to go. We're talking with Bob Higgins. He's the general manager over at Brookshire Golf Club. This is a public course up in the Carmel area. If you'd like information, the website is pretty easy one, brookshiregolf.com. Just how it sounds, Shire as in the hobbits, right? Yeah. Brookshiregolf.com. Okay, all the information you could possibly want is there. Is there anything we didn't cover that you want to mention, Bob?
I don't believe so, Julie. The one thing I guess I did forget to mention is with the new clubhouse, we also have a new pool and pool house and everything else out there.
Now,
they are slightly separate from us, but you know, if you want to come out and swim after you golf or join the swim club, you can do that kind of thing as well.
Well,
we're tied with them, but they are separate.
That is a big bonus because you don't often find that.
Correct.
But you know what? Is it like that because it was originally set up like
a private country club? Yep.
Cool. Okay. Well, that's a wonderful option.
It is something a lot of public courses don't offer the access to.
Yeah. No. Yes. I hear you. Well, very cool. All right. Brookshire Golf Club up in Carmel. Bob Higgins has been our guest. He's the general manager there. Again, the website, brookshiregolf.com. You can always call them. That number is 846-7431. You want to set up an event, you do that with Brian Ballard. His email is bballard@carmel.in.gov. Thank you so much, Bob. Appreciate your time.
All right. Thank you, Julie.
All right. And we'll be right back with more on Freedom 95.
You're listening to Lifestyle Indy with Julie Patterson on Freedom 95.
All right. Hey, we're back. Thank you so much for tuning in. Our guest for this segment is Ann Poindexter with APW. Ann, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much. My pleasure.
We have covered a lot of topics. You know, you're an attorney. I think our listeners remember you. We've covered so many different topics. Today's, I think, might surprise you, but it might be necessary for some folks who are listening. So that's why we're going to jump right into estate planning for pets. Yes, you heard
that's
me right.
Right.
Estate planning for pets. They are members of the family. I totally get that.
So, absolutely.
Let's chat about
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, so many of us have pets that we're so very fond of that we absolutely consider as family members. And so, you know, we begin, or we should at least begin to start thinking about what if something happens to us, because those pets are dependent upon us. And so many of us want to do a little bit of planning for those pets. And while we think of them as family members, the law says that they're property. That's why we get to go and buy them from the breeder or from the pet store or, you know, from the neighbor. But they're property, so we get to designate who receives that property. And we can designate that in our will or our trust. But, you know, sometimes that's not quite enough. And so what many people do is many people want to take some steps or make arrangements, both if they become disabled or if they die, to make sure that their pet family member is taken care of in the style that they want them to be taken care of in.
Makes sense.
And we can make arrangements to do that. You know, one way that we do that is that sometimes we do a pet trust. And sometimes when I say that out loud, people look at me and they do what you just did. They giggle.
right on cue.
Yeah, and I understand that. But, you know, not all trusts are complex trusts. Not all trusts are 50 pages long. I mean, some trusts are, you know, more simple trusts and they're just not that many pages. But, you know, you can create a trust where you put a designated sum of money and you put some instructions in there about, you know, who makes the decisions and, you know, who should be the veterinarian. And if I pick Franny to, you know, have custody of my pet, then You know, if something happens to Franny, who's the second choice? And, you know, if Franny wants to go on vacation, of course, I don't want my pet to be boarded. And so, you know, you can leave all kinds of different instructions. And then some people want to leave somebody else in charge of the money and dole out the money and kind of be the oversight committee, if you will, to make sure as they're doling out the money that their pet is really being taken care of or that the instructions are really being carried out or followed for their pet.
Is that what you recommend, at least a couple of people in on this to make sure things are executed properly?
Yeah, some people do put, you know, a couple of people, but, you know, and even though I say it's a simple trust, I mean, you know, even though it's not a 50-page and even though, you know, I'm a lawyer and I say it's a simple trust, there's even a more simplistic way to do it. I mean, you can just give a few thousand dollars or hundreds of dollars to a designated person in your will and say that they get your puppy or your kitty and this amount of money and, you know, that's to go and offset the costs for taking care of puppy or kitty.
So it could be that simple.
It could be that simple.
Okay.
I mean, you know, hopefully you and I wouldn't choose to give our puppy or kitty to somebody that's going to take the money and turn around and take them to the Humane Society. I mean, we trust that they're not going to, you know, turn around and do something like that.
That would be heinous. Yeah, that'd be bad.
Yeah, but it also depends on the pet, too. I mean, think about horses, for example. Horses tend to be very expensive. I mean, it's not sometimes what we think of as a pet, but yet they're animals that are kept. And so there are a lot of expenses that go along with keeping and owning a horse. And so horses very commonly people do pet trusts, if you will, for a horse. They give the horse to this person, and then they put money aside to make sure that that horse will really be taken care of and boarded in a quality facility, not, you know, a rundown facility, and really have great veterinarian care and, you know, all the things that they for that horse or that they would have provided for that horse during lifetime.
Yeah. So what is the strangest pet you've had somebody make a trust for?
Well, I'm not sure about strange. I mean, you know, it all depends on your perspective.
Right. You're right.
You
that
know,
was,
keep,
I, yep. Yep.
Yeah. You know, I think it's different depending on where you live, what kind of acreage you have. You know, I would never consider having personally, you know, alpacas or llamas, but, you know, people do.
There are some in my neighborhood. But there's like a trail, a running trail, a paved running trail. And I didn't notice it the first, I don't know, year or two I was running on the trail, but then all of a sudden I see these llamas and they're just off the trail. They have like their own little paddock area and their own little grazing area. It's just bizarre to me. Why would people in Indiana have those, I wonder? I guess we'd have to ask them, huh?
They're right. And they do have them. Huh. And so, you know, just a difference in perspective. Obviously, you know, I think that's different. You think it's different. But there are a number of people that have them. And so they might want to consider a pet trust. I mean, that's not an animal that is easily taken in by someone else.
No, I wouldn't think
right.
so. You got to have that land, and I don't even know the care of them. What do you even feed them? I see them grazing, like, I don't know if it's grass or hay or what, but yeah, that's
right.
interesting. Yeah, they all have different care. Maybe you have an exotic bird, you know,
right.
does that require. So I'm kind of wrapping my head more and more around this estate planning for pets. It actually makes good sense.
Yes.
It really does. I'm getting it.
Sometimes, even a dog, you know, we think if we have a dog, we could take in another dog. But, you know, think of some of our dogs have special medical needs.
Yeah.
you know, my daughter does pet sitting for a lot of people, and she has some dogs that, you know, take all kinds of medications and, you know, what they eat, you know, she cooks for them. Wow. And, you know, so some of our pets aren't as easy, quote unquote, mm-hmm. to just transition to somebody else. Mm-hmm. And they have extra needs that a pet trust with some funds that go along with them would help transition them to make sure that they get the quality care for the rest of their lives.
Right. You know, it could be an old pet or a young pet, but it might still have some
right.
special needs. Yeah. Wouldn't
right.
matter.
Like just a person. Like, just yeah. like we people have yeah. special needs
like
sometimes. Pets
yes.
do too.
That's
pets
really
do too.
It's interesting. It's just
yeah.
interesting to think about.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So trusts aren't just for people. Trusts can be for, you know, those other really special family members that we have. They can be for pets as well. And even if you don't want to go all the way to a trust, keep in mind and don't forget, perhaps, to plan for that pet.
Yeah.
Because what you don't want to have happen is for everybody to sit around scratching their heads about, oh boy, now what do we do with mom's favorite mm-hmm. cat mm-hmm. or dog or llama or
exotic bird. You know, it is
exotic bird.
It is
or cat.
All it is exactly. It is always better to understand what your loved one wants while they're alive, to talk
That's...
with them and to find out what their true wishes are. It may be very different than what you thought, too. You just don't know.
Absolutely.
So that communication
Absolutely.
Is important.
And I want all of my clients to have as much control as they can. It's called estate planning. You know, I want them to plan in advance, and I want them to be able to make their own choices and put those choices in writing so that they're controlling what they can and making those choices so that they're binding and effective and not just leaving it to happenstance.
Right. No, I agree with you. If you would like to talk with Ann Poindexter or check out their website, apwlawyer.com, their phone number is a pretty easy one to remember. It is 317-350-1000. Before I let you go, the new magazine is out this month. Angela Ganot from Fox 59 is on the cover. She's a pretty lady. But on page 27, there you are, Miss Poindexter. Now, the article is not about the mistakes you make, but about clients who are concerned to start planning. Thanks. And your article talks about, hey, don't be afraid. Let's get started, right?
Right. The biggest mistake is not starting.
Yes. 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 And is it ever too, I mean, you're never too young, right? Because you never know.
No. No. I mean, there are some very basic estate plans that every young person can have. I mean, you know, I tell parents all the time, oh, great, you've got an 18-year-old. They're a legal adult. We should talk to that 18-year-old about a power of attorney at a very least, because mom and dad can't go to the bank for them necessarily anymore. They can't access health care records anymore. We can't call up the doctor like we used to anymore because they're a legal adult. It's never too young to start that estate planning.
Gosh,
even
I never
for the
thought
18-year-old.
Wow, that's really interesting. You're right. And you know, there's so many examples of famous people that did not have a plan or a will. I mean, Prince is a shining example. His family's still fighting about it years later.
Right.
And that's just unfortunate. It's unfortunate that it isn't a priority like it should be.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I agree with you. Again, contact information to speak with one of the good folks at Altman Poindexter and Wyatt would be the website. Oh, I just zapped off of it from my computer. It is apwlawyer.com. The phone number 350-1000. Any closing thoughts? Get those pets taken
nope.
care of.
other than, we're having some summer heat finally. Take care of yourself, take care of your pets, and don't forget to do some estate planning for those pets.
I love it. Thank you so much, Ann Poindexter with APW. I will appreciate your time today on Freedom 95.
Thank
and
you.
On Lifestyle Indy. And we'll talk to you again.
Thank you.
Thank you. And this has been Lifestyle Indy on Freedom 95.